India from the Inside, Part 1. You are going to listen to Mark Tully talking about the year 1947. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then, you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the beginnings of the sentences 1 to 6 with the sentence endings A to I. There are two sentence endings that you should not use. Write your answers in the boxes provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you.
Long years ago, we made a tryst with destiny, and now the time comes when we shall redeem our pledge, not wholly or in full measure, but very substantially. At the stroke of the midnight hour, when the world sleeps, India will awake to life and freedom.
Those were the historic words with which Jawaharlal Nehru rang down the curtain on the British Raj in Parliament House, Delhi, at midnight, August the 14th, 1947. The great Urdu poet Faiz Ahmed Faiz was less enthusiastic. He described independence as a scarred daybreak, a night-bitten dawn. At first, he appeared to be right. On the very day that Nehru dedicated himself to the service of the Indian people and to the still larger cause of humanity, riots broke out in Punjab on both sides of the new border, in Amritsar in India and in Lahore in Pakistan. Nobody knows how many people were killed in the terrible bloodshed that followed partition. Some estimate 200,000, some 400,000, and some 1 million. My father left India just before partition. But we got news that our Muslim nursery boy Jaffa had been killed in riots in Bengal. We were stunned. Jaffa had seen us through our childhood in Calcutta and even softened the heart of our stern European nanny. Like many Calcutta businessmen, my father realized that independence was inevitable, but thought that it had come too soon for India's good. He had always intended to return to England because India was never home to the British. They came to India to do business or build bridges, to rule or administer justice, and then retired to Bognor Regis or Budley Salterton, to Cheltenham or Chalfont St. Giles. Staying on was very rare and disapproved of. My grandfather, who was something of a rogue, loved to tell us stories of Uncle Charlie, who had gone up country and married a native woman. My more orthodox grandmother would tell him off, saying, "Be quiet, Bertie. You mustn't tell the children about Charlie. You know perfectly well he went jungly." Going jungly, or native, was an unforgivable crime in her book.
Long years ago, we made a tryst with destiny, and now the time comes when we shall redeem our pledge. Not wholly or in full measure, but very substantially. At the stroke of the midnight hour, when the world sleeps, India will awake to life and freedom.
Those were the historic words with which Jawaharlal Nehru rang down the curtain on the British Raj in Parliament House, Delhi, at midnight, August the 14th, 1947. The great Urdu poet Faiz Ahmed Faiz was less enthusiastic. He described independence as a scarred daybreak, a night-bitten dawn. At first, he appeared to be right. On the very day that Nehru dedicated himself to the service of the Indian people and to the still larger cause of humanity, riots broke out in Punjab on both sides of the new border, in Amritsar in India and in Lahore in Pakistan. Nobody knows how many people were killed in the terrible bloodshed that followed partition. Some estimate 200,000, some 400,000, and some 1 million. My father left India just before partition, but we got news that our Muslim nursery boy Jaffa had been killed in riots in Bengal. We were stunned. Jaffa had seen us through our childhood in Calcutta and even softened the heart of our stern European nanny. Like many Calcutta businessmen, my father realized that independence was inevitable, but thought that it had come too soon for India's good. He had always intended to return to England because India was never home to the British. They came to India to do business or build bridges, to rule or administer justice, and then retired to Bognor Regis or Budley Salterton, to Cheltenham or Chalfont St. Giles. Staying on was very rare and disapproved of. My grandfather, who was something of a rogue, loved to tell us stories of Uncle Charlie, who had gone up country and married a native woman. My more orthodox grandmother would tell him off, saying, "Be quiet, Bertie. You mustn't tell the children about Charlie. You know perfectly well he went jungly." Going jungly, or native, was an unforgivable crime in her book.